Einhard slapped the table.
You are thin for a monk, but I see you have a monk's appetite.
Then turning to Eugen, he said,
Tell me how you won that scar.
And flushing, the young Ritter recounted his deeds at Burg Falkenstein. At the tale's conclusion, the Imperial Knight raised a cup to him.
Old strokes, worn with honor, he cried.
He and Manfred then re-fought the Battle of Mühldorf, where Einhard had ridden for Ludwig Weisselbach and Manfred for Friedrich Habsburg, each of whom had sought the imperial crown.
Ludwig cut a fine figure,
Einhard wheezed.
You must have remarked it, Occam. You knew him. Very striking body, tall and slender. How he loved to dance and hunt stags!
For which reason, Manfred countered, the imperial dignity sat lightly upon him.
No gravitas?
Einhard swallowed a mouthful of wine.
Well, your Habsburgs are grave, I'll give you that. Old Albrecht couldn't pass the table salt without pondering the political implications. Before your time, I think. I was only a junker myself. Hard as a diamond, that's what folks said about him.
Yes, said Manfred. Look at what he did in Italy. Einhard blinked.
Albrecht did nothing in Italy.
Manfred laughed and slapped the table.
Just so.
He once said, Italy's a lion's den. Many tracks go in, none come out. The table broke out in laughter. The older knight shook his head.
Never understood why Ludwig went in there. Nothing south of the Alps, but Italians. Can't turn your back on them.
It was at Marsiglio's urging, Occam said. He hoped the Emperor would settle the civil wars there. Manfred plucked a fig from the bowl and caught it in his mouth. Why shed German blood to settle Italy's quarrels?
Einhard said, Now the Luxemburgers are the sort the Minnesingers warble over. Karl keeps his purse open for them, so I suppose they'll sing about him, too. That's why I followed Ludwig. Between your dour Habsburgers and the flighty Luxemburgers, the Wittelsbach are plain-spoken, beer-drinking German folk, as simple as this sausage.
Yes, said Manfred, as simple as that sausage. Einhard smiled.
Well, they'd have to be fools to want the crown at all.
He frowned over a dish of blancmange the servant set before him.
This, I may say, is more like a Luxemburger,
Thierry said. Speaking of all that, what's become of old Pocketmouth? Malachi the Jew answered. We heard at Regensburg that Grafin Margaret remains loyal to her new husband, and the Tyrolean revolt is over.
No blame to her, said Thierry. Her first husband was both stupid and impotent. A wife may endure one or the other, but not both.
Ha ha! Said Manfred, raising a cup.
Well said!
Marriage is a sacrament, Dietrich objected. I know you defended Ludwig on this, Will, but not even an emperor may annul a marriage.
Erhard leaned past his lady and shook a fork at Dietrich. No, marriage is an alliance. The great houses, he said, tapping his temple, they are planning decades ahead, decades, shoving their children like chess pieces into the marriage beds of the empire. But that is where Ludwig was so clever, for a sausage head. Pocketmouth detested Hans Heinrich, but she would not discard a marriage alliance with Luxembourg without obtaining another of equal value. So, Ludwig gives her a divorce, and then marries her to his own son.
He smacked the table with his palm so that the cups danced.
So Luxembourg loses the Tyrol to Wittelsbach.
For so clever a move, Thierry said, it proved a bit too obvious.
So, said Einhard, Ludwig makes a second chess move. He holds Bavaria, and his son holds now the Tyrol and the Brandenburg mark, which neatly surrounds Bohemia. In case Luxembourg makes the trouble, yeah? So when the other houses complain of the nepotism, he takes Carinthia from the Tyrol, which changes nothing but makes everyone happy. And you'll notice, added Manfred, that Habsburg gained Carinthia without the need to kiss the ugly duchess.
More laughter. Einhard shrugged.
What matter? Luxembourg rules Europe now. You'll not see a Habsburg again on the imperial throne.
Manfred smiled at his own blancmange. Perhaps not.
3 votes sit in Luxembourg's pocket.
With 4 needed, Thierry said. Have they resolved the dispute in Mans? Einhard shook his head.
The Pope's new lapdog. Who is it?
He snapped his fingers. Gerlacht of Nassau, Ockham told him.
The very man. He tells everyone he's the new archbishop, but Heinrich won't surrender his seat.
You see how clever all this is?
Gerlach is nobody. Who fears House Nassau holding Mans?
If he can oust Count Heinrich, said Thierry.
So, Einhard counted off on his fingers. Karl holds the Bohemian vote himself, and his brother Baldwin is Archbishop of Trier, that's 2. And when the House Luxembourg says frog, Archbishop Voldrick asks how high he should jump, except he thinks he's the king of frogs. So, Korn's vote makes 3. As for the Wittelsbach, well, little Ludwig holds Brandenburg, as I've said, and his brother Rudolf is Count Palatine, which makes 2 votes.
With Mainz uncertain, both families play court to the other Rudolf, the Duke of Saxe-Wittenberg.
Ha! House Welfen holds the balance.
Manfred said mildly, "The balance will change before the Electoral College need vote again." Yet, no one thought Ludwig would drop dead, either. The Kaiser's party was hunting in the woods around Fürstenfeld, Ockham remembered. I was at the lodge with the others when they brought him in. A peasant found him lying in the field beside his horse, as if he had no more than fallen asleep.
A man? In the summer of his life, too, Einhard said. Apoplexy, I heard.
Too many sausages, Manfred suggested.
He did not die hungry, Ockham admitted. Nor will I, said Einhard. This is excellent food, Manfred. Too bad not all of us can enjoy it, he glanced at Malachi. Now what's this I hear about you guesting demons?
The question, coming unexpectedly as it did, brought momentary silence to the table. "I have founded a lazaret in the Great Wood," Manfred said casually. "The lepers there are hideous in appearance, but are mortal as you or I." Thierry grinned at nothing. Eugen looked into his cup. Lady Kunigund watched her father. Ockham listened with keen interest. Malachi tugged repeatedly at his beard, and his eyes missed nothing.
Some of your men have been spreading tales, then, Einhard replied. Said you brought them down to Falcon Rock that time.
The old man turned to his wife and said,
You see, my dear, nothing to those stories.
Lady Rosamond was a fleshy, indignant woman.
Then what of the thing I saw?
She turned to the Hochwalder.
Since 2 weeks, I hear a strange clicking from my rose garden, but when I look, I see, I don't know what. Hideous yellow eyes, enormous arms and legs, like a giant grasshopper. It leapt from the garden into the sky and flew away in this direction. Then I see my roses chewed on and spat on the ground.
A giant grasshopper, said Malachi slowly. Einhard patted her arm.
Some beast had gotten into the garden, dear, that was all.
But he studied Manfred with a cool eye.
On the morrow, Dietrich escorted Ockham as far as the pass on the Oberride Road. Ockham led his mule, which he had named Least Hypothesis, and he paused and rubbed its nose. He had thrown back his cowl so that in the dawn his wild hair seemed a laurel of flame against the rising sun. He said, You've let your tonsure grow out, Dietl. I'm a simple priest of the diocese now, he said, a mendicant no longer. Ockham studied him.
You may have forsworn your vow of poverty, but I cannot say you have gained wealth by doing so.
Life here has its gifts.
Had you learned to flatter the Kaiser, you would need not live in the backwoods.
Had you learned to live in the backwoods, you would need not flatter the Kaiser. Ockham smiled faintly and looked off to the east toward Munich, Prague, Vienna, the capitals of the great houses. A touch, he said. And a moment later, there was an excitement to it, a feeling that we were accomplishing things in the world.
If you defend me with your sword, I told Ludwig, I'll defend you with my pen.
I wonder if he would have, had it come to the test. Occam shrugged.
Ludwig had the better of the bargain. But when he has been long forgotten, men will remember me.
Is it so bad a thing, wondered Dietrich, to be forgotten?